Hey, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening to the FT After Hours podcast. Just wanted to give you a little heads up on this one and what was going on. My original intent was to do a podcast review on the new Park Zone Sport Cub. Fortunately, I didn't get it in my hands as soon as what I really wanted. We did take it out and fly Saturday with it, but kind of got limited time on it. I did pass the transmitter around. Wayne got to fly it. Pat and also our good friend Mike Coolins came with us and let him fly it a little bit. But we kind of ran out of time, and I don't think we would have given it a fair shake. So we're going to wait for the next podcast when we have a little more time on. Also, I want to take your questions on if there's anything out there you want to know about it or anything. I want to kind of answer your questions during the podcast. So we're going to wait for the next one. So kind of what we did is we flew all afternoon, and we drug Mike Coolins down here to the studio after we were done. Now, the cool thing was Mike's been flying for, you know, about 3 years or so, or maybe a little longer. And he has a real passion for RC. And it was actually his first time thermal flying with both the Radian and the Ultra Micro Radian. So we took him out, got him set up, showed him what to look for, gave him some pointers, and he really seemed to have a good time. I haven't flown a whole lot with Mike here in the last year, so it was really interesting to see how he progressed. So it was really interesting just to sit down and talk with him about it and his thoughts on everything, and maybe kind of what he learned and what he thought of the whole ordeal of thermal flying and flying in general. And, you know, we helped him with some radio setups and everything. So I found it kind of interesting, and, you know, his thoughts and everything. So hopefully you'll enjoy this too. So sit back, relax, and here we go. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of FT After Hours. We've been out flying all day, and we're pretty exhausted, but we're going to try to roll through this here in an hour. Actually, we are pretty tired, but anyway. In the studio today, I got Wayne Griffith, and I got a special guest here with us today. I got Mike Coolins. Mike, Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
So, I know in the previous podcast, Mike, you might have heard, too, we've talked about you a lot. Mostly good things, maybe some bad things, when you weren't listening. But you've been hanging around flight test for a long time, probably since the beginning, yeah. And you used to come out and hang out at the shoots all the time. And folks out there, if you've never met Mike or seen Mike or whatever, I guarantee you when you hang out with Mike, it is always a good time. He will make you laugh, or he's going to crash something or whatever, but you're always going to have a good time when you hang out with Mike Coolins.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited about the flying experiences. There's nothing about it. I'm like a little kid.
And I think you own just about every flight test airplane, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There is a few you don't have? Yeah.
So we drug you out today and did a little flying, which we'll get into here in a little bit.
Absolutely loved it. I'm glad you guys invited me.
Well, we're definitely going to be a lot more of that. All right, folks. Hey, just wanted to try to catch up on a few things here, let you know what's coming up, what's going on. Well, obviously, we got Flight Fest coming up here in July, and yes. I know the guys are working like mad trying to get things sorted out and get that thing planned out, and I think we're all excited for that. That is really going to be a good time. So they're working on that. We got a lot in the works for the podcast. Now, I appreciate you guys hanging in there and listening. I know it's the summertime, and like us, we want to get out and fly when the weather's nice. But if you like the podcast, please go in and rate us. We would really like to keep this going for you. We got a lot of stuff in the works, and I think it's just going to get better. So if you really do like it, pass the word around. You know, tell your friends about it, maybe that you fly with or whatever. But just help spread the word, because we really enjoy doing it. We want to keep it around, so just help us out a little bit, and hopefully we can keep this going for you. A couple things coming up, too, on the podcast. We're going to be doing some more podcast reviews. Actually, just for a little tidbit, our next review is going to be the Park Zone Sport Cub,
and I had it out today.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys actually got a couple test flights on it, and I can say pretty much it's quite the awesome airplane. What do you guys think? You agree?
I agree, and I thought it. I didn't think it was underpowered at all. So
right.
I've flown some Cubs where it's really slow, and it'll tip stall. This banked really well, I thought.
So right,
I
right.
really did like that.
Right, and again, like you, I was a little on the fence because it had the older 480 motor with the prop that actually came off the P-51. 1300 battery, and it's a good size airplane. So I was a little on the fence, but so far I was pretty happy with it. We're going to get some more flights on it. Go ahead.
Now I noticed you did lose altitude when you had the flaps on, which that'll bring it down in a hurry. And there's no doubt
right,
about that.
Right, exactly.
That's the way you had it configured, I should say.
Right. It does come with flaps. You got to put your own servo in it, and I did that, and. So we'll do a full review on that. Probably next podcast, I'm thinking. We're going to get some more flights on it. Mike, I want to get you on a little more, and Wayne. And I think we might change the ESC and maybe put a bigger prop on. Because it actually has the same motor in it as the Parkzone T28.
All right.
So all you really got to do is just up the ESC to a 30 amp and put the prop on it from the T28. It should give it significantly more power. And I'm hoping it's going to keep the slow speed capability. So I'm excited for that. Also, we're going to start doing, I think, some phone interviews. I got a couple things in the work for that. And also, we're working on Adam Drain to come up and hang out for the weekend and do a podcast. And he's the coordinator for the B-17 group there, the Liberty Bell Foundation. So he's got a lot of exciting stories and stuff that he's done with that. So I'm pretty excited about that. So we definitely have stuff coming up. I think it's going to be exciting. We got a list I'm working on right now. Bixler said give him a list on stuff we wanted to review. So you and Wayne or even Mike, if you got anything you'd like to see, let me know. Or you guys out there listening, if there's really something you'd like to see us do a podcast review on or anything, shoot me an email and I'll throw it on the list. I don't have a problem with that at all. Just a couple other things. I got some emails from you guys. I told you, if you got some funny flight story, I love hearing funny flight stories or crashes or things that happen. You know, we all have had them experiences. Mike, I know you've had a few, and Wayne's had them. And I love to listen to them, and I could just sit down and talk about that for hours and hours and hours. So I've been slowly compiling a list of some of the stuff you guys have sent in. But I thought maybe I'd share just a couple with you guys, to let you know kind of what we're working on and what some of the stuff that everybody's been sending in. I got one from, I believe it's David Mack, M-A-K, Mack. Does that sound right? Okay. And he sent me in an email, and I'll just kind of glance through it and tell his little funny story. He said he just started in the RC hobby in the fall of 2013. He found a quick success mostly through flight tests with a bit of trial and error and induced by impatience. Well, this Memorial Day weekend was no different. He was out with some friends and colleagues. It was a quiet weekend. Was also marked by some relatively quiet winds on Sunday. So he brought out his FT Blunt Nose Versa with immersion RC 5.8 gear to the ballpark, and it was a short walk from his home. First, some little different scenery. He says, normally I fly FPV at a bigger field, so I'm new to it, and I feel the need for the space for comfort. All right, so this is actually pretty funny. After having a history of poor TX-RX pairings, which started a faulty TX to cause regular brownouts, I set up my fail safe on the Lemon RX receiver to kill the throttle and pull hard left on an aileron turn, so at least it would quickly change orientation and regain some signal. So now, if you weren't over a pond and you were just flying over in a field, that would be fine. You lose signal, the thing goes into a nice spiral spin and easily in the grass. So now the poor guy's over the water. So long story short here, after I lost TX-RX signal, but regained some video as the motor shut down and banked hard left into a diving spiral and saw through the static a rapidly approaching glassy water surface. Then I heard the static followed by a distant splash.
Oh, no.
The walk of shame to the pond revealed the wing pretty much in the middle of the 1.5-mile diameter pond floating upside down. The only two options to recover was either, one, swim, Or two, wait for the boathouse to open in 3 hours at 10 a.m. to rent a boat or a kayak or a sailboat. Walk home with the intention of returning with the $10 for the hour's rental. An hour later, I get a phone call from someone saying they found my plane. We're going to put it on the park bench. Sure enough, as I walk all the way around, I find it at the opposite bank from where I entered the path around the pond. Someone even conveniently disconnected the now dead battery.
Wow.
So, guys, that was just an example of one story from David Mack. I got a few other ones. Thanks from Devin Crum and Kevin Tishner. I'm filing these away, and we're going to compile them and maybe just talk about them on a podcast. So a couple other things, too, before we get into our flying. Wayne, I don't know if you looked, and I would love to go to this event, but they just had the Horizon Hobby Aero Tow. Mm-hmm. Did you look at that or see any of the pictures of, or no. anything of that? They hold that out in, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly. I want to say it's Piatt County Airport, P-I-A-T-T, Piatt County Airport. And it's actually a full-scale glider field, private field there. And they do it every year. But if you get a chance, go on like even RC groups, mm-hmm. or I know there's some videos on YouTube that they film. These glider pilots are unbelievable. And the gliders, we're talking some of these gliders are 40 and 50%.
Whoa.
They're huge. And they're towing them with one of them is, Peter Goldsmith has a 100cc Hangar 9 Pawnee. And I believe David Payne has a Hangar 9 Super Decathlon with 120cc. So that's what they're towing these airplanes with. They are unbelievable, guys. So if you get a chance, hop online and look at some of the scale size and detail. And I heard the thermaling was actually pretty good. Some of the guys were getting over an hour and 20, 15, 20 minutes or something out there.
So when are they doing this?
They already did it. It was 2 weekends ago.
All right.
But they have it every year. And it's actually an event that's on my list that I've been trying, really, really want to go to.
Right.
It looks really impressive.
Count me in.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is, three-hour drive from here maybe. So, guys, check it out. Get online and check it out. It is unbelievable. Just a couple other things real quick. Browsing around looking for some products. There really wasn't too much out there. I did see Hobby King. They re-upped their FPV 250 quad. They got a V2 version out now. They got some different motors, ESCs and stuff on there. Wayne, did you see, too, they got a 9XR Pro radio out now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about it. I just seen it on their webpage.
So, I haven't looked at it.
Right. So, guys, if something you want to look into, hop on their website. I don't know the exact details on it. They also have a Quantum Nova quadcopter out. Kind of looks like a knockoff of I shouldn't say knockoff, but it's on the lines of DJI Phantom Vision or the new Horizon Hobby Blade 350 QX AP that they got coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. It's got the gimbal on it. Looks almost like a DJI. The altitude hold. This one actually has waypoint settings that you can program in,
right.
and it'll actually go. But again, if you want details on it, just go on their website and check it out. I heard that.
I was shutting my phone off.
So, other than that, I haven't seen really too much new stuff out there. I just wanted to touch base. But so let's talk about our day a little bit. We drug you out today, Mike.
Yeah, there wasn't much thermaling, but the right. Ultra Radian Micro, it's the first time I ever flew it,
uh-huh.
and I got up pretty high in altitude, and I did find lift. I had to bring it down 2 times pretty hard because I was getting uncomfortably high. So,
right.
And it's a smaller plane. So,
right. So actually, this was kind of...
I enjoyed it a lot.
This was kind of your first time really thermaling, basically,
yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so just kind of... I've seen you fly all kinds of different things. I mean, everything from a sky surfer to
which
a
is kinetic. Basically like a Bixler, if
right.
you're not familiar
right.
with our Bixler tube.
A lot of the flight test airplanes. You got a big Spitfire. So you're actually, in the last year or so, you've really come around. You're immersed in flying now. I see you're getting into quadcopters and getting
FPV.
Yeah,
I am dabbing in quads now, which I had the H-quad. Chad helped me build that, obviously, because it was more than I could tackle alone. But and I've been flying that little Proto X Estes. I think, is it pronounced it Estes? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Estes. Proto X. Yep.
I've been flying that in our lab like crazy, and it's like a little insect over people, and it doesn't hurt you if it hits you and stuff, and very durable. Other than the props fly off, I had to put some new motors and some props on it, but I've flown them to death, and it's got my skill level quite a bit.
Right.
For the quads now.
Right. Yeah, the little stuff does help. You know, you don't have to worry about crashing it or banging it into a wall or, you know, anything like that. So we got you out there, and you bought a Radian probably – oh, you bought it to Toledo Weak Signal.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we got you out there, got everything set up, did, you know, the test glide and everything.
Which was very beneficial.
Right. So what's your initial – you know, what's your initial thoughts on it, and how does it differ from your other flying?
Well, the Sky Surfer kind of has a great gliding capability, so I had some feel for that, but I never had a large enough wingspan to really try thermal. I mean, it glides really well, but not quite obviously like the Radian, which was awesome. You did find some spots over the school building, which I know we had lift in certain aspects before even Wayne got out, which was pretty cool.
Right.
And the long flight time, it's just very therapeutic. You can stay up there for a lot longer than other type planes, which was very nice. And then the Ultra Micro Radian, I really enjoyed that. Unfortunately, I broke it before I even got there, transporting it up from my basement. It caught the door and broke the wing, and I had to repair that. I broke two planes before just loading the vehicle, which is especially when it's brand new and you never flown it before. But it was repairable, and you saw the repair wasn't much. Flew great.
Yeah,
so
it's never a dull moment with you, Mike. It really isn't.
Oh man!
So you caught a couple thermals today. Then what'd you think of that? I mean, what?
But the Ultra, believe it or not, the Ultra Radian, it definitely was climbing. When you guys weren't paying attention, I think maybe you were doing the DLGs at that point. I couldn't believe the lift I was getting with that, which was awesome.
So
that I enjoyed. I'm hooked.
You're hooked too.
Oh, yeah.
So you're pretty.
I could do that for hours at end.
Yeah.
In fact, I could tell you guys wanted to wrap up today, and I'm like, just
you want
a couple
to keep
more.
Going?
This weather is just too beautiful. I have to capitalize it.
And honestly, I mean, even today, I mean, it was okay, but there really wasn't much out there. You just wait till we get a good thermal day.
When you have the right cloud. Oh, like you said, there's certain clouds you can tell it's going to be a good thermal day.
You get the right temperature and humidity and everything, and it's just, you get in one, you go up. You come down, you cruise around, you get in another one, and up you go. And it's just all day long.
And like you guys mentioned before, it's always more fun with others.
Yes.
If you find, like you said, you found some thermals to catch, and I tried zooming over there real quick, and I definitely had lift at that point, so you can feel it out well and help me out with that.
That's when you need to bring out the recliner chairs so you can lay back and watch them thermal.
And actually, like you said, just tossing it before you actually get up there, that's a very key point, because when you want to go neutral, it'll lift on its own.
Right.
You don't want to have slight elevator up or anything low, you know, when it's gliding on its own. So it's very important to do that before
do
you
glide
get
test.
Up to altitude, so you know what it's – because sometimes it's so high you can't see whether it's lifting or not. So you know when you're neutral, it's going to lift.
Exactly.
So you need that for sure.
Right.
That's an important factor.
Right. So you picked up on things there pretty quick.
But
awesome. What else? We had the – go ahead.
No. I was just going to say you were talking about funny stories.
Yeah.
One wreck that kind of I thought of when you brought that up. I was new to it, and I had my Sky Surfer, and I was out at my dad's place, and I was kind of showing off, and I was just learning inverted and stuff. People want to see things,
sure.
Like they don't. So I'm flying inverted, and next thing I know, the battery's hanging, and then it just breaks loose. And for some reason, your mind thinks you're still going to control. At least it did for me, because I was new to it, and I'm like, and it's just doing these big hanging.
Is ballooning?
Porpoising.
Porpoising. Porpoising, and I'm like. I couldn't figure out right off the bat why I had no control. I'm like, duh, the battery fell out.
It
was pretty brutal. And there was my showboating experience in front of my mom and them. And they felt for me, obviously. But it was like, that was a funny experience. I'll never live that one down, losing the battery and trying to control it. And then I completely lost a plane once, too. I mean, I still haven't, to this day, have not found this.
Really?
And I just went behind my mom's roof. I mean, it had to be 1 second. and I was going pretty much just straight.
Right.
And I mean, it was gone.
Right.
I looked, I bet 2 days looking for that. And I even had Chad going out there with FPV.
Really?
Maybe it got stuck in a high pine. I think. I still believe it's up in one of them tall pine trees, but it was my first kinetic. I never heard of anyone lose it. And I had an open area all around those pine. It has to be in those pine trees.
Oh, that's funny.
But just some stories I wanted to share.
That reminds me, I don't know if I ever told this story, but I had a Corsair, the older, Park Zone Corsair, the first one they had out. And, of course, it was all souped up and everything. And it was down at a buddy's house, and I had it in the truck. And they were all kind of bugging me throughout the day. Oh, we got to get your plane out. You got to get your plane out. And, I mean, it was really windy. And I was like, So finally they talked me into it. And, I mean, there was probably 15 people down there or whatever. And I got this thing cranking around. And again, I had a really hot motor in it. And I think it was flying on 4 cells. And so I was doing – they liked one – you know, you go up, turn around, you do full throttle, low speed pass and crank it. You know, they're all cheering. Well, I come down all this real long, high speed, full throttle, long pass coming down there, and a gust hit it, and it was going for the ground. Well, I just hit the elevator rope. The second I hit the elevator, the wings just exploded. Folded up and, you know, bang, you could hear them. And into the ground this thing goes. And all the people are like, yeah, woo. And I'm just standing over there. And when they realize really what happened, then they looked over there all like, oh man.
Because most people will feel for you.
Yeah,
no
right.
Doubt about
at first,
it's
they're
like
just,
a sight, you know.
Yeah.
Like at
first,
after a while.
At first, they're like, "Oh, that was the best thing ever," and then they see you standing there, you know, head down. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny. So what else? We had the DLGs out, but we couldn't get you.
I wasn't going to commit to
you
that.
You didn't want to try the DLGs.
Not today. That's maybe some other time.
Now.
I did enjoy flying that was the Cub, the Super
Cub. Oh, yeah, the Park Zone Super Cub.
Park Zone Super Cub, yeah, that was nice.
I think that's
now, it's funny because you say you like souping up everything, and you already want to soup that up, and I didn't think it needed it, but you obviously do.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll be honest, it doesn't – I was pleasantly surprised, actually, stock form, how well it did. Now, back in the day, most of the stuff when I pulled it out of the box, I was already souping it up, but – I'm trying not to do that. You know, I think nowadays the airplanes, you know, of course, with the better brushless motors and everything, I think they're very capable, and the way they come out of the box is good. So I'm trying to learn to just fly it like that, get everything out of it stock. And maybe, you know, a year later or if the motor takes a dump or something, then hop it up. You know, so.
Well, I know when I bought my Cub, it was fairly scale, and Chad thought it would be a good, it was like my second plane.
Uh-huh.
And I flew that, and I'm telling you what, it was a nightmare for me. I mean, it tip stalled. It was truly underpowered, I felt. And I put a new motor in it now, and I absolutely love it. But you still got to be gentle on the turns and stuff, because it'll tip stall on you really quick, which it might be typical of any type scale. I don't know, but
yeah.
Now I don't hate it as much. It's not my most evil plane that I have. And you know, but nobody would think a Cub, but really, that's a tough one.
Right.
And I've flown other Cubs, and I see how easy some of the nicer built ones are, and they are more enjoyable park flyer type thing. But that one, wow.
Yeah. And the other thing I find fascinating, I love talking to guys like you. They're, you know, still. Now, don't get me wrong. You're a good pilot.
I'd say I'm intermediate. Yes. I would never say I'm excellent because I can't do the 3Ds and stuff, which I'm intrigued by and I want to learn, but I haven't traveled that avenue yet.
But you've come a long way, I think, in the last year, and I still like to watch you and pick your brain on things. Like even today, you had the FT Flyer out. And
the Bloody Wonder.
The Bloody Wonder.
Not the FT Flyer.
Okay. So we were cranking around at first, and this thing was, like, just almost uncontrollable.
Oh, it was so squirrely. I'm like, I thought I was going to wreck it just launching it. And I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I got to put Expos in. But then you came into the the added feature of saying, you need some rates,
too. Right, dial the rates
down. And I never messed
with
rates, Chris helped me, and I said, I definitely want to observe this and learn the rates because I had way too much throw.
So
on all my control surfaces.
So we went from 100% all the way clear down to like 60% with, I think we went 40% expo. And just to see, you know,
what
starting point.
Of it.
And actually, that was almost perfect. I mean, this thing went to a squirrely plane. It was almost uncontrollable.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my heart was racing.
I mean, poor Mike was shaking. The sweat's pouring off of him. Yeah, he wants to fly the plane so bad, but he's just like,
And I've already wrecked it a couple of times, and Chad's helped me rebuild it. I'm like, you know what? If I totally trash this, I don't care, but I want to put it back in the air and give it another shot.
Right.
So.
And, you know, we got it dialed in. We kept testing it. We dialed a little more and tested it. And by the time we were done, that thing was so locked in, and it flew.
Oh, the rolls were so tight.
So good. It was like a completely different plane.
Oh, you made it. I actually enjoy it now. I'm looking forward to flying that plane.
Right.
Now.
So it's just another instance, you know, that we've talked many a times where, you know, you get something you build something. You're like, this is the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. But you work with it. You work with it. And eventually it could be your favorite plane.
You configure it right. And it becomes a totally different plane. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Right.
Truly unbelievable. Sorry about that.
So I found that kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I could sit actually, you know, if there's three or four people flying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to fly too. But I love just to hang back sometimes a little bit and just observe.
I noticed you were doing that. And I'm like, do you need batteries?
No.
I wanted to see you up there. And I'm like, I got plenty of batteries charged up here.
No.
Let's get you in the air.
I love to watch somebody fly something for the first time and just watch them and see what they're doing. And many a times, even if they're like even an intermediate pilot, I've watched them and go, wow, I just learned something new or a different move or he did this or whatever. And it's like, you know, so I've learned a lot just from watching.
And the fact that you made dual rates so I can go back to those extremes. I've never done that with a switch. So
yeah,
that helped me.
Exactly.
I mean, some things are very basic for the more expert or even higher intermediate. That's an intermediate skill, I would say. I didn't even tackle.
Now, how
yet.
Long have you had your DX8?
I've had that maybe 2 years. I think I had it last year, and I started with the Sky Surfer had its own transmitter type thing, and then the DX6i. I still have that, and I want to do some binding with my son, trying to get him involved with the binding cord. So I'm going to need some assistance with that, but I'd like to train him on some things. I bought him some few planes. I want him to try the FT Flyer. I got him a Nutball, and then I also got him the. Is it not the Apprentice? Is it the Apprentice S maybe? Or Apprentice?
Could be.
The Apprentice.
Yeah, they got the Apprentice. Yeah. No?
It must not be that way. It has two props on the side.
Oh that's the Delta Ray. Delta Ray? The big one. No?
It's not that big. It's I'm not going to try thinking of it. Bixler. I actually bought it off Bixler. It was one they used in a review.
It has its own
PlayStation controller type thing.
I don't even know if they make
or
that
not PlayStation,
anymore.
But a Nintendo 60.
Stratus?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Ah, gotcha.
It's a 2-cell battery, and I don't even think they're brushless motors. It's brushed motors.
Yep.
I hope it's not too difficult, but it has that self-stabilizing feature.
Yep.
Especially type of beginner.
Should be fine with that.
I'm hoping so. Thanks for thinking of the name.
Yeah, no problem. Wayne, I want your opinion on this. Now, obviously, we're kind of fully engrossed in the DLG thing. Now, I don't think...
shaking his head no, by
the
way.
Oh, okay.
Wayne was.
Yeah, right.
I don't think even maybe a couple years ago, I don't know if I would really enjoy it that much, but I think... As Mike, as you do more flying and you learn conditions and you learn thermals and you learn what the plane's doing, that's where the DLGs come in a little more because, you know, with the Radians, they're pretty easy. You throw them up, they cruise around, you find the thermals or something where...
And you always have the backup of the throttle.
Yeah. You know, when you get into DLGs, you got to search more. You got to fly the air. It's more of a challenge, I guess
say. I can believe that.
It's all you.
Right.
You blow it, you're going to be throwing it again.
Right. So I think for somebody... I don't... that's my other thing I forgot to mention. Wayne, I was thinking, I actually have had quite a few emails about DLGs and learning and what to get and whatever. So I think, what do you think about the LaBelle? I was thinking about throwing that on the list. Because what is that, $120, I think?
Right. Because that's the biggest problem with DLGs.
Right.
But it makes sense, though. Because, I mean, these things got to be rock solid. They got to be built with quality. And most of them are hand-built.
Right.
So they are going to be expensive.
Right.
Yeah, that LaBelle, And that's going to be perfect for people who just want to get in and try.
And try it. Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's not too many people who want to spend $500 or $600 or more. Oh, yeah. You know, that's on the cheaper yeah. side for a decent DLG to get into it. So I think we're going to throw that on the list, and we could possibly do a podcast review on that.
That'd be great.
Right. So guys out there, if there's any questions or anything you have for DLGs, the other cool thing is maybe we could get David on the line with Blog Talk or something, and we could incorporate him on there because he's very knowledgeable with the DLG stuff.
That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So let's see. What else do we do out there today?
I'll tell you, I started the hobby, and I can't say it enough. Having someone that's knowledgeable help you, because my first experience, like most others, right. and I've heard it over and over again. I just saw the podcast and was a big failure. I may have even had my prop on backwards. I mean,
that's augured a good point,
right in a, it augured right in the ground. I had a Mustang. Yeah. And actually, I gave it to a guy at work, and he gave it back to me now, knowing that I'm so involved and learned so much about flying RC. Uh-huh. Chad Capper, we both had the same interest at the same time, uh-huh. pretty much. In fact, I probably flew my first plane when he was flying that jet. He talked
really?
About augured that mm-hmm. one. And then, and I think you was there, Wayne, to see that and unfold. It wasn't pleasant.
It was not, no.
Well, anyways, then once he started flying, I was out there with him, and he helped me. If it wasn't for him, I probably would have gave up on the hobby for short.
Really?
Again, even with my Sky Surfer.
No kidding.
He's like, the Sky Surfer is a great, because it was like the Easy Star. He's like, that's a great beginner. You're, uh-huh. you're going to have good experiences with it. And he got me up in the air, got me a couple mistakes high, and then uh-huh. and I bought a simulator package. I had the Phoenix RC, so uh-huh. I started playing with that a lot. And definitely those features, but you can't benefit of a knowledgeable RC pilot. And he was still kind of learning. I mean, we were learning together, but he was better off than uh-huh. I was, for sure. He knew
right.
different things. He researched things to set up the planes up properly. So
right.
And we absolutely love the hobby and grown to love it. So
yeah,
that's the best part about hanging around Chad, because he always has that, but he also has that knack for helping you progress. To take you to that next level. He uh-huh. is really good.
Oh, yeah.
At
I'll never forget. He's telling me to go left. Go left. No, your other left. Because I'm like, I'm going right. You know, I mean, we still laugh about that one, but it's like, oh, man.
Mike,
your brain just doesn't process right coming back.
What was the hardest thing for you in the learning process?
I think the orientation of coming back.
Yeah.
Honestly, once you turn around your mind, it's that muscle movement with
uh-huh.
the sticks. Because.
Yep.
Even with the quads, when I started, I had to maintain throttle control. When I did that 360 and come back, and that's people really struggle with that maneuver, even with the quads. So I
yeah.
think just coming back and having your left and right orientation properly.
Right.
And the first person view with FPV, I think makes that. I think that's why it's so easy to maybe jump on the FPV. I've done a little bit of that now, and it seems more natural.
Yeah.
But.
And you know, it's a funny thing, and I know we've talked about it in previous podcasts, but see, there was Wayne and Pat and you, Mike, and myself, and we were all sitting there talking that we all agree, for some weird reason, that we all do better turning left.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the reason or what's behind
it. If it's because we're right-handed.
Yeah, so anybody out there, if you're left-handed,
Do you naturally go right?
That's what we
would like to know.
Came to that collusion.
That's for sure. Because yeah, I'm always, as soon as I go up, I'm banking left. It's just natural, real easy for me. And I struggle going right.
Yep.
I mean, I can do it at the level I'm at, but it's not the way I naturally want to go.
I agree. I'm the same way.
I don't even know how to explain it.
I'll go left 10 times before I go right.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pole in my basement, and I was flying the Nano QX around in the basement just doing laps.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, my brain said, hey, you keep going left.
Yeah.
You know,
go right.
This is NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I'd spin around and force myself to go right.
Yes. Right.
And I wasn't as fast going right, but I kept pushing.
And that's why then they tell you to do like a figure eight.
Yes.
I think you're going to struggle doing
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's when we were out flying today. And that was the reason why I went right, is because, not because it's natural, but I heard you guys and I kept seeing that you guys kept going over our heads. And into
in the
sun.
Right.
And I thought, no, I'm going to keep this thing in front of me. So I made a conscious
effort. I noticed that. And that's when I brought up
right.
That's when I brought up, and it looked so unnatural to me. I'm like, that's when I brought up, man, I always go left.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I'm not comfortable, if I'm first flying something,
yeah, that's
I naturally
crazy.
Go left.
Right.
So. That's just crazy. An interesting thing I noticed and observed.
Yeah,
and I wanted to mention.
Right, and again, we talked about it a while back on the podcast about that, because I struggled with, actually in the early days, I struggled with that, you know, going left. I'd go right in the ground, and I couldn't figure it out what the problem was or why I was doing it. I mean, I don't have any problems now. I can go left and right, no problems, but regardless, I still go left.
You have a tendency
more
to go
comfortable.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Yep.
It's I agree
100%. Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. Trying to think of...
I'll tell you, my number one hobby is bow hunting, specifically crossbow hunting. And I don't want to go off subject here because this is
fine.
An RC forum.
No, go ahead.
Having all these hobbies, it's...
Right.
I think I have too many hobbies, to be honest with you. Because my passion's with bow hunting. But I'll tell you what, RC flying is a very close second. It's sometimes I feel like I need to be doing that more so than sitting in a tree stand somewhere.
Yeah. Chris and I are a lot alike in a lot of the hobbies that we like.
I get obsessed with
them. Man, we should have been born millionaires and retired because, dude.
Yeah, just talk to my wife. She'll tell you all about it. Man,
I get obsessed. Like, when I get involved with something, I just absorb myself in it. I think too much.
I am the same way. I indulge in, I just want to know everything about it. Yeah. I want to learn everything about it and go. And then
and when you enjoy it, it's easy to absorb yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
obviously.
Then I'll get finally, I'll get that point like, okay, that was fun. What's next? And I'll move on to something else. I've always been like that.
And like I always tease, when it comes fall time, my poor wife's a widow then because I'm never home.
Uh-huh,
I'm always
right.
in a tree stand somewhere. So.
Yeah. And my poor wife, I used to drag her around everywhere. I mean, that poor girl's been to the bottom of the oceans to,
Yeah, you've done a lot. I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
You've done it all. So.
It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like I said, told you, I went and got my ham license this morning. And,
oh, yeah. Tell
and
us
I'm
about
down
that.
In Myrtle Beach last week with my iPad still sitting there studying
test.
Yeah, I was doing some reading and other stuff. But, it's just one of those things that I knew the test was coming up, and I just hammered it until I got it.
Is it tough? I never even looked.
No, to me, it wasn't that bad. I only got the technician. But after I took the test today, I think I'm going to actually push and go for the extra. So I think I'm going to go all out on it.
Is there any benefit for the extra, or what does it get you?
More frequencies. You have more rates, more things you can do. For the RC people, probably not. Technician class is all you're going to need. If you want to legally do a lot of the stuff with FPV and stuff. But yeah, it's just one of, you know how I am. It's just, okay, I accomplished this thing. I kicked it. So
right.
Let's take it to another level. So it was pretty fun.
Awesome. You got any funny flight test stories?
Probably do. And I honestly, I was going to make a list of things because I'm so bad with memory and time frame on things. But I'm sure I do. And if you notice, I'm in the back scenes way more than anyone here. And they're probably like, who's this Mike Coolins? Because I do hide out quite a bit. And I like staying out of the video. And that's amazing I'm even here with the podcast.
But, no.
No, we're going to. I'm trying to think of. I'll tell you, it was kind of funny. And I didn't even realize Chad and Dave did this. But those crackers, I was laughing pretty hard. Did you see that on the Gremlin channel?
Flight test Gremlin channel, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When he was eating it, I shunned guys at work. He actually ate that. And it tasted like the wax paper that they. See, I like Dumb and Dumber and that kind of sense of humor.
Right.
So I got a kick out of that.
Oh, my gosh.
I was laughing pretty good at that.
That was funny.
But,
I seen the fire thing. That was crazy. You see him do the fire thing?
Oh, yes, with the steel wool.
Yeah.
And he was swinging it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then you mix the butane with the soapy water, and I forget that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. Oh, no way.
I'll tell you what was more, though, when you did that vampire with the... The butane and the thrust.
That
to me was scary. And we tested one out here even, and that was pretty interesting. I'm like, I don't know about that mixing butane and RC wine, but it sounds so cool. It was so cool to watch that.
That's one of my things I want to do with the photography is I want to do the steel wool and do this. It's called long exposure, so you end up with these really cool shots. Those are pretty fun.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I'm really eager to get my H quad up with the GoPro I have. I've had that GoPro. I was trying to use it for hunting applications, but it didn't work.
It didn't work, really?
So I'm all eager to get it up in the air. And I did fly it on my Versa wing, FPV, with Dave and Chad helping me. They were my spotters. Can't ask for better spotters than that, obviously. But
and you went all out. I didn't realize you got the FPV goggles. And
oh, yeah. I got the Attitude Fat Sharks.
Yeah, and you were showing me. Yeah. You built the H quad, and you got the NASA set up on it. Man, I was shocked. Yeah. Did you know he had all that weight?
Nope.
He pulled that out of the car, and he goes, look what I got.
And
I
it's like, extremely powerful. Chad's like, you're going to like this a lot. So he helped me set it up, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's features on there I haven't even, I don't even know yet. And I got to get back with Chad to learn some of that aspect of it. But it's been a while since I've seen him, but I can't wait. I'm really wanting to get that FPV on that quad. I did the Versa, and it was really... It was a left and right bouncy kind of thing. And I'm like, I got to get this on the quad. I want to get some good aerial footage with that. I can't wait.
Wow.
And it's so stable. It's like hands off, like you said, with that attitude mode or whatever. Yep. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I made that little camera rig out of what their kit David made.
Yeah.
And I'm going to strap that on there somehow or another. See if I can get some good footage out of that. And I know the guys at work are eager to see that. I've talked about it. What I really want to learn, too, is try to get the goggles paralleled with a monitor so people that are watching.
Oh, yeah.
They made that board, which looks really sweet. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want that scale, just a little monitor so people can watch me fly, and I want to do that.
Just put a receiver at the same channel, and it'll pick it up.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I have an extra receiver. Well, I don't know if it'll work. I'll have to figure it out. There's more involved there. I do have another transmitter receiver for a little cheaper FPV thing.
No, it'll read. Anything. Yeah, you just need to
tune in.
Just a receiver.
Okay.
And
okay, I got to look into that.
Same frequency, same channel.
See, I think it's different frequency, and that might be my problem. Because Chad looked at it briefly. He's like, that might work. So.
Oh, you know what I just remembered I thought was hilarious? How many people. Now, okay, you got to picture this. There's three guys out in the middle of the field, sitting down, staring straight up into the sky, right? So,
this is too funny. We had people on bikes looking.
We had our
no sound from the plane.
Yeah, we had our radians, and we were way up. I mean, we were probably 600, 700, 800 feet up, just cruising around. There was people on bicycles going by, looking at us, looking around, looking in the sky. There's cars going by. They're slowing down. I think they thought we were absolutely berserk.
And I should have put a foil hat on it.
Yeah.
Because they would have been like, what are these guys doing? With no sound, especially the people on the bikes were really thrown off.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even hear anything. What are these people doing?
This poor guy on the bike, man, I thought his neck was – he was looking, and he looked and stared at us and he was trying to look at our faces and see. And he's looking up again.
I almost lost my
I told Mike, I go, look at this guy. He can't even.
Obviously, we could take our eyes off him because you're so high. I mean, you'll pick
I'll
it
wave
up.
To him. Hey, buddy, how you doing? These are them guys are just completely lost it. They just probably.
I'm so glad you brought that up because we got a huge chuckle out of that.
They probably think they're just out there flying something, you know? Guys just escaped from the metal ward. It was hysterical.
Oh, my gosh. That was. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Oh, man.
I got a kick out of that.
That was probably the highlight of the afternoon. I mean, this poor guy, he had no clue. Absolutely no clue.
And they're
clue.
Just so quiet. I mean, obviously, you're
no noise.
Hear those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's too funny.
You know, and with them being so high, so I could look at Mike and talk to Mike look around.
So they're like, we're not even completely focused.
Yeah.
You know? We're just,
right. They're just sitting out there with like a radio between their legs. What are they doing? Oh, that was too funny.
I'm just glad I did. Well, I did wreck my Kinetic a little bit. I nosed that in. I tried gliding it, and it came down hard, and the battery shot out in the cover. But
not minor damage.
Well, yeah,
minor
everything's damage. Minor to you.
Minor damage.
You can repair anything, I'll tell you.
Minor damage.
That's another benefit of having Chad as a friend. He loves repairing things. Oh, my gosh, that was an unbelievable benefit for me. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, that's nothing. I mean, I would have threw that plane away. Like that. And he'd have me up flying in no time. And he's so creative. He has so different aspects of doing repairs that look phenomenal.
Right.
Yep. I'm just like, man, I wish I had that creativity and artistic ability. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he likes repairing – wow, that's a match in heaven there for a guy that likes to crash a lot. So
yeah,
I don't like to crash, but I obviously crash. I mean, that's part of it.
And it's funny, though, because, you know, a lot of the flying that I have done with you, I mean, don't get me wrong, you've crashed some stuff, but it's been crazy. Some of the stuff, how you crash or what you've done, you
know. My hands are sweating. Yeah. I am such an uptight person. You have no clue. I know a lot. I hear other people. But they always tease me. I'm like a cheap lawn chair. I fold under pressure. I mean, I am not kidding. It is really bad. Like, you just egg me on a little bit, and I'm going to just fall out of the sky.
And I can't tell you how many times when I've been down at Chad's, here comes Mike, pulls out this plane. I'm like, oh, man, that thing's awesome. Here, good. You fly it first because I want to fly.
You killed me the one time because I don't even remember what it was. But you're like, here, just go. And you just tossed it. You just forced it on me. I'm like, and you did it. I could have killed you. I was like, this is ridiculous. I've never, and my heart's racing. My hands are sweating. And I like everything pristine. Like, I have roughly 30 planes in my basement, and they're all ready to fly. I mean, they're binded. Yep. I mean, and Chad comes down, like, those all have the electronics in. I'm like, I'm going to be able to go out and fly. I don't want nothing that just has the frame or anything. And I try to keep things pristine.
Yeah, we know.
But it just doesn't happen.
There's no way not in this hobby.
I have a few planes that I like to think are pristine, but there's flaws in every one of them.
And you got to have your beater planes, you know, where you
Well, that's just, what the Bloody Wonder was. Yeah. And my airframe, because I was building it one night trying to get ready for Bix, so I thought maybe he'd use it in a shoot. And I said, you're more than welcome to use it. It's all ready to go. They didn't end up using it. And I'm kind of glad that the wings all on, like, diagonal, you know, it flies. But when I look at it, well, I have that OCD a little bit, I guess. But it just, to me, everything's imperfect, I think, despite my efforts.
No. How many planes do you think you have now?
I have, I think, 30 on my transmitter that I'll have them. Wow. And it's so nice to have one transmitter, because that's one reason I went to the DX8. My 6i, you can only put 10 planes in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I need something that I can put, after I got to that 10 level, I'm like, right. I got to have something else. And with SD card, to store more planes than whatever can handle, I needed that, so.
Well, you know who else is good at pushing you real quick is David. When I got that Predator off of him,
he did that with that 3D pilot his Viggen over the water. He kept pushing until he actually sunk it in the water. Right. And he's like, that was all me. So go ahead with your story.
Yeah, when we set up the Predator and bound it to my radio, he got it all set up. He goes, okay, get ready to fly it. And I go, no, I don't want to fly it right now. He goes, sure you do. And he chucked it up in the air. And, okay, we're flying.
You're right. Like, he did that to me on a couple instances as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, even the H-Quad, I think he told me, just fly it. Go. Yeah. Go.
Just go.
And he keeps telling you go until you just can't take it anymore. Yeah. You go. Next thing you know, you're going.
Yeah. So. Sometimes I think that's just the best way to do it though. You know.
I need to send him an email or something, see how things are going.
Yeah. And, you know, I've told the story to you guys many a times, but, you know, the first actual time I flew FPV, we were at Chad's, and Bixler and Chad were flying, and I was watching in the monitor, and he had to do something, or I can't remember what it was. He goes, here, put the goggles on, just hold the radio for a second. So I put the goggles on. I grabbed the radio and I'm talking to him. Well, he left. He went down in the basement to do something. There was nobody there. I'm like, Bixler, hello.
Anyone?
Nobody there. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm flying FPV. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Well, you know that story. I went up to Medina. There was a bunch of glider pilots up there, and I just went up to take pictures. I've never flown anything except on the simulator. And this guy was talking to me, and he had his glider up there, and he handed me his radio. And I'm, no. And he goes, oh, yeah, here, you're doing fine. He stood there for about a minute, and he's talking. I go, man, you're doing really good. And turned around and walked away. And I'm like, no, get back here. You know, luckily I was able to keep it up. But, man, I was scared. Yeah. I was sweating. It's not in my airplane.
There's nothing worse when you get out a little bit and you lose orientation.
Right.
I did that a couple times even today. Every time I'm out there, it seems like I test my distances a little bit too much. Yeah.
And I'll give you a lot of credit, Mike, even with the Radian for you, you know, first time in like that, you got pretty crazy high today. So maybe your eyes are better than mine. I don't know, but you were way.
I did.
You were way up there. And like I was telling Wayne, when we first got going, my problem was, and I've told the story before, I used to go kind of crazy high like that. And when I got into a big boomer, the thing, it shot up so quick and out of sight so fast that it's gone. So, I kind of shy away from, now if you're low and you catch one and you go up high, that's you're kind of a okay. little different. Yeah. But when you're already way high and kind of like a speck, and then you yep. get into something, the thing disappears. So just a warning.
Oh,
just,
I know. I've done it with my Sky Surfer actually yeah. out at Chad's. I remember I was really high and I'm like, I'm not going to bring this back.
Right.
Fortunately, I did. But yeah, you get to those limits and you're like, wow. Yeah. I don't want to do that ever again.
When you get it up there and you have to keep it in the clouds just so you can see it, because if it goes into the blue yes. sky, you lose it.
Yes.
Oh, and then you really get yes. nervous. You stay in the cloud and you push elevator oh, yeah. down, man. Coming yes. down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I know you've done that.
I did that
at
Chad's that last time.
I'll tell you, I did
there.
That with the ultra micro radiant because it's so small to
oh,
begin
yeah.
with.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I was way
yeah.
up there. When you guys would have been surprised how high I was going up and thrilled. I'm like drilling it straight down, thinking I don't know how long, but I'm like, I got to bring this down, man. Yeah. This thing is looking small.
Yeah, that thing will spec out pretty quick. Oh, well, while we're on that subject, so actually, too, that was your first flights with that, right?
Yes. And I absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I almost like the smaller version than the larger version. I think it was easier to get lift with it. But there's downsides. Obviously, the size, you
right.
don't have the
right.
distances, you know?
Right.
And I do like that. So they both have their key features that I do enjoy.
Right.
Yeah, but
I can
honest,
enjoy both.
Today was
not. Oh, yeah.
It was.
I agree.
I mean,
I don't know much about it,
yeah.
but I know I could. Well, we found a few times where you could feel the lift.
There's days down there you can throw
that's
a brick
what he,
and
that's,
it'll stay up.
That's
right.
what he was saying, or Chris was saying.
I mean, so. I must have chucked that DLG 100 times a day.
We were struggling with that, I could tell. Yeah. I only glimpsed over there a few times, but you guys were really struggling keeping those up, I noticed.
You know, we had the hot weather, everything looked good, but it just wasn't that right mixture.
Nope.
So, hey, real quick, too, before we kind of wrap up, Wayne, I just want to get your quick opinion on it. And again, we're going to do a whole review on the Park Zone Sport Cub, but we fly the Beavers, mm-hmm. the Fly Zone Beavers, and they're right. probably one of our favorite airplanes, and we fly them a lot.
Yep.
So I was just curious, just from your initial flight that you have, what do you think how it compared to the Beaver?
I'm still pretty partial to the Beaver. I mean, it would take a pretty good plane to knock it off the level that I got it at anyways. But, I mean, it flew great.
Uh-huh.
It did fine. But I like my Beaver.
You like
I
it?
I like the power and everything. I just...
Uh-huh.
Now, if I saw some of the Beaver, that's the one where you can put the pilot... Or the
floats?
Floats on
yep.
or the wheels,
yeah,
correct?
It comes with floats. Yep.
Okay.
It's a phenomenal plane. And maybe, Mike, when we do the podcast review, I'll bring it out and you can fly that and then we'll go back to the sport. You know, just so
and
you...
And who makes that? Is that Park Zone?
Fly Zone.
Fly Zone.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Fly Zone makes the Beaver and then Park Zone. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I was just curious. I mean, they're for me, they're really comparable. I don't, you know, it's toss up, but...
I don't... It felt like the Beaver had a little bit more power.
You think?
It felt like it to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I thought when I came out that you were honestly flying the Beaver.
Oh, really?
First. Yeah. I didn't see it. I mean, I was further away, and I'm like, oh, he's got his Beaver out there. But
that's tough. We might almost have to go back-to-back with that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe the Beaver, it's got a bigger prop, so it kind of feels like it has, like, more torque to it, maybe.
Yeah, that might
you know?
Be it.
So I don't know, but yeah, we definitely got to compare that, I think. So anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? Mike, anything you want to throw out there?
I wish so bad I would have wrote notes on things.
No, it's no big deal. You are more
this
than welcome.
This is totally fly.
You're,
on the fly here.
Yeah, this is. This was a, throw it together, hurry up. We got, again, we got a lot of stuff in the works coming down the pipe. So
I know I made a mistake on my nut balls. I lined these with so many LEDs and I faced them outward.
Uh-huh.
And I heard the Josh saying, you want them pointed inward or light up the foam, not the sky.
Yeah.
These things are blinding. In fact, they drain and for LEDs, and I'm draining. But I couldn't even get them off the ground because it was draining so much battery. I mean, I totally went the whole way around the nut ball, the tail, the rudder, every. I'm like, I had to put two batteries on because I had so many LEDs.
Yeah.
And it's so bright. It's like I should have pointed. I'm going to have to go back and redo it, point them inward or something, because it didn't have the effect that I wanted with lights, obviously.
Right.
And so I learned a hard lesson that way with lighting your plane. And I got the changing color LEDs, and I'm going to do that. Something in a wing that has it's hollow in the center, and you can actually load it up properly.
I did the same thing. I got a 48-inch UFO that I built with the lights. And man, I'm telling you, that thing, for miles, you can see that thing.
It's like blind.
Yeah, on the ground, when you plug it in, it is physically blinding. It's like you got to put on your sunglasses, launch it, and then
it did not have the right effect that I thought it would doing it that way.
Right.
So I wanted to share that tidbit, too, which it's already been shared, but another lesson learned type of thing.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, guys. I think we're going to try to sneak out of here a little bit early today. It's been a long day. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of flying in, and we got a lot of stuff coming down the road. So, hey, we really appreciate you guys listening out there. Again, if you like it, please tell everybody. Pass the word along. We definitely want to keep this going. But if you have any questions, email me at chris@flighttest.com. Hit me up on Twitter at FT After Hours. I try to answer all your emails. And again, please send in your funny stories. We love to hear them, and we'd like to do a podcast and shoot them all out there and talk about them. Also, real quick, as I have obviously we've talked about, we're going to do a podcast review on the Park Zone Sport Cub coming up. I'll probably throw it on Facebook, but please send in your questions. If there's anything you want to know about it or questions that you would like us to answer, email me, and we'll try to answer that for you when we do the review on the podcast. So other than that, we're out of here. We appreciate every thanks, Mike.
I'm glad you invited me for this. I enjoyed it. I hope to do it again with better notes next time. Thanks again.
No problem. We will definitely have you in. You're always a good entertainment to have around.
I hope I didn't blast anyone with my laugh, because some people say it's infectious. I think it's more annoying sometimes. So.
No problem.
But, bear with me with my laughter.
Editing is a miracle. So, all right, guys. Thanks for listening. Well, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.